I've already questioned them outside on the courthouse steps. I'm sure you have. You wore your good suit. The rumpled hair and the tie askew are a nice touch. You'll probably get marriage proposals called into the television stations after they run the piece on the news.
Don't play that card with me, Carrie, he warned. This isn't about politics. This is about what's right.
A fair trial is right.
Putting away the sick son of a bitch who killed that family is right.
Yes, Carrie agreed. That's your job. Make the case good enough to stick. If you really think the outcome of this trial hangs in the balance of this one issue, then I'm inclined to agree with Kenny Scott. You barely have enough to sustain the indictment.
You want me to make my prima facie case right here, right now?
Logan challenged, anger slashed red along his cheekbones. It was never difficult to read him. If the glare in his eyes didn't give him away, his pale Irish complexion did.
No, Carrie said. I'm just warning you, Chris. If you rush this before a jury to soothe the public outcry and you lose, I have enough to convict him.
Then why are you here? She demanded. Would you barge into Judge Olson's chambers? Or Judge Denham's? No. You're here because you think you should have special privileges, that I should knuckle under and bend to your will because we used to be colleagues, and because I'm a woman. If I were a man,
I never would have slept with you.
Logan completed the sentence. Carrie stepped back, as if he'd slapped her. He might as well have. During the years they had worked together, there had always been something between them, an attraction both had felt, but neither had acted on, with the exception of one night. They had been putting in long hours preparing for a trial, her last before her appointment to the bench, as it had happened. Carrie had been drained of energy from fighting with David about her long hours, about her lack of support for his career. With David, every issue was turned around until it was about him. Her career was interfering with his spotlight. Never mind that when he was working on a project, she sometimes didn't see him at all for weeks at a time, and it was only on a rare occasion that he included her in any part of the process. It never failed that when she needed his support, as she had on that last case, he was never there for her. But there Chris Logan had been, understanding and sharing the pressure of the upcoming trial, strong and passionate. You'll leave this office now, she said, her voice hard and tight with emotion, or I'll call a deputy and you can deal with the consequences. She went to the door and yanked it open, stared at Logan with eyes as fierce as his. He looked away and down.
Carrie, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
No, you shouldn't have, and you will never say it again.
No, I'm sorry, he backpedaled. It's this case, it's just getting to me, he said, shaking his head, raking a hand back through his thick hair.
Don't try to give me an excuse, Carrie snapped. There is no excuse. You're pissed off, and you're trying to undermine my authority, and I won't stand for it. If you come within a yard of that line again, I'll have you removed from this case, and think about what that would do for your public image. Get out. He didn't look at her. She wanted to think he was too embarrassed by his own behavior, but that probably wasn't the case. He was regrouping, switching tracks to a wiser course of action. Logan's passion for his work was a thing to behold in the courtroom. Defense attorneys of no small caliber were routinely blown out of the water and crushed, but he had never learned to completely control it when he needed to, and so his strongest asset was also his Achilles heel.
You've seen the crime scene photographs, he said quietly. You know what was done to that woman, to those two little kids, foster kids. They didn't even belong there, really. It was just the luck of the draw that they ended up at that house.